Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating laundry rooms with improved storage, workspace, and everyday function for one of the home's most used spaces. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, June 5th. I'm Abby Larico. Ravi Coltrane wasn't even two when his famous father died, but he got to know the jazz legend through his music.
When you start to recognize someone's voice, you're not just hearing the instrument itself, a saxophone or a piano, you're hearing that person's humanity.
STLPR's Jeremy Goodwin brings us the story of a tribute concert celebrating John Coltrane and Miles Davis. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A custodian for the Maplewood Richmond Heights School District has officially been deported. That's according to a social media post from Congressman Wesley Bell, who went to visit Boñeres Flores Bravo in a detention facility in Louisiana to advocate on his behalf. But before Bell arrived, he says Flores Bravo had signed paperwork to self-deport after being told that his family would be deported without him if he didn't. Flores Bravo was detained by ICE during a routine check-in in mid-May. His family came to the U.S. 4 years ago seeking asylum after escaping political persecution in Nicaragua. Teachers and families from the Maplewood Richmond Heights School District rallied in support of the family earlier this week. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore says President Trump's aggressive stance on immigration enforcement has not affected the way his office handles cases. Gore told reporters yesterday at a briefing on his 3 years in the role that the office has always had cases where defendants are in the country without legal status.
From our perspective, we prosecute those cases, make charging decisions just like in any other case, and haven't seen any change in that in terms of we haven't seen the federal government being more active in those cases.
Gore is encouraging people to come forward if they are a victim of or witness to a crime, even if they are undocumented. He says the office can help them gain protected status in the country. At that briefing, Gore also says he's making progress rebuilding the staffing of the office after the resignation of the embattled former prosecutor Kim Gardner. When Gore was appointed to the post in 2023, the circuit attorney's office had just 22 attorneys prosecuting cases. That number's now up to 49. Gore says he hopes to get to 55 trial attorneys by the fall, just short of his budgeted strength. But he says the office doesn't pay well compared to neighboring counties, and that makes it hard to keep employees. This next story might be a little difficult to hear for some listeners. A local restaurant owner and musician's family dog was killed this week during a pit bull attack in Tower Grove Park. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimley reports, dangerous animal complaints have been increasing across St. Louis in recent years.
Steve Ewing is the owner of Steve's Hot Dogs and lead singer of local St. Louis band The Urge. He says his wife Beth was walking their Maltipoo breed named Emmy in the park Tuesday when two pit bulls broke free from their owners and attacked them. Ewing says the two women who were walking the dogs didn't stick around.
They didn't try to exchange information or anything. I want them to know that we have a dead dog, so they should definitely come forth. That would be the right thing to do, when they enter two people.
The city recorded 423 dangerous animal complaints in 2024 and 420 complaints in 2025, significantly higher than in previous years. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The largest distributor of kratom in Missouri has agreed to suspend all sales of the substance in the state. American Shaman will also no longer sell 7-OH. This resolves a lawsuit from Attorney General Catherine Hanaway. The AG had alleged the products cause serious health risks. Kratom and 7-OH are non-FDA-approved substances, often found in gas stations and smoke shops. When combined, they can produce opioid and stimulant-like effects. Last year, overdose reports raised concerns about kratom products, including those with 7-OH. Hanaway's suit alleged American Shaman often advertised free samples of 7-OH without disclosing addiction risks.
Our office was getting calls from coroners around the state saying that their child or loved one or somebody in the coroner's county had died from an overdose of kratom alkaloids.
Missourians who believe they were harmed by kratom are encouraged to contact the AG's office. North St. Louis residents lined up this week to call for a larger allocation of RAM settlement funds for recovery in neighborhoods affected by last year's massive tornado. As St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, community members say the current allotment is just not enough.
City leaders are mulling a bill that allocates the city's $230 million of RAM settlement funds to tornado recovery, downtown revitalization, and repairs to the city's ailing water infrastructure. But residents in tornado-affected areas say $110 million is not a big enough portion of the funding. At a hearing on the funding, residents called on city leaders to allocate around $150 million to the recovery process. Vivian Brown is a 4th Ward resident.
It don't make sense that we got to come here a year later, people, water ain't running, floors falling down, housing fell down, and there's nothing being fixed.
Currently, the city plans to put $65 million towards the city's water infrastructure and $55 million towards efforts to revitalize downtown. Its estimated tornado recovery could cost more than $1.6 billion. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Here's another reason to want to sprint toward the next Olympic Games. St. Louis will host the 2028 Olympic Marathon Trials. St. Louis officials, sports leaders, and East St. Louis Olympians Dawn Harper Nelson and Jackie Joyner Kersey made the announcement yesterday afternoon. JJK, as we know her, is the St. Louis Organizing Committee co-chair.
It's really about showcasing the area, but then also all the energy behind what's already going to be happening in 2028.
The course includes St. Louis landmarks such as Wash U and the Gateway Arch. The race will conclude inside Energizer Park. Mark Schreiber is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, and he says 2028 is looking to be a massive Olympic year in the city with the marathon trials, soccer, and potentially the Olympic torch relay.
How many cities would yearn for that kind of Olympic activity and wish to be so closely connected to the LA Games?
The marathon trials will take place March 25th, 2028. The St. Louis Battlehawks are heading to the playoffs this weekend. STLPR's Jonathan Aul reports the team is looking to reverse the club's history in the postseason.
The Battlehawks have led the United Football League in attendance and had winning records in each of their 5 seasons, but they have yet to win a playoff game, losing both of them at home. Head coach Ricky Prohl says the past is not part of his mindset as he prepares the team.
And I want them to be flying around and have fun playing football. And I don't want them feeling pressure. I want them to do what they've been doing, but do it at the highest level.
The 6-4 Battlehawks earned their number 2 seed and a home game in the semifinals, and Prohl says they intend to tap into the home field advantage. The Battlehawks take on the Louisville Kings Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Dome at America Center. I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Miles Davis and John Coltrane made some of the most beloved jazz recordings during a collaboration that began in the mid-1950s. Both artists would have celebrated their 100th birthdays this year. On Saturday, trumpeter Terrence Blanchard and saxophonist Ravi Coltrane will pay tribute to the jazz greats' historic partnership at Powell Hall. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked Coltrane when he began listening seriously to his famous father's music.
This was during the time where we lost our older brother, John Jr., in an automobile accident. He was 18, I was 17, he had just graduated high school. You know, and obviously, 15 years earlier, we had lost our father. And music seemed to fill that void for me. In the absence of my older brother, you know, I needed something needed to come into my life. And it was me embracing the music, you know, primarily with my father's music.
What did you start hearing when you listened at that time that maybe you didn't hear before?
You know, I think it was when you start to recognize someone's voice, you know, you're not just hearing a style of music or a genre of music. You're not just hearing the instrument itself, a saxophone or a piano. You're hearing that person's humanity. You're hearing them expressing from their hearts and souls, you know. I think that's really, you know, what started to affect me, you know, really becoming aware of the humanity behind the music. I feel like I got to learn about my father through his music, you know, and you do get a sense of his humanity through his sound, you know, through the power of his intention.
Tell me about these shows that you're doing with Terrence Blanchard, celebrating the shared 100th anniversary of John Coltrane and Miles Davis. What's happening at those shows?
Well, I was really just thrilled to receive a call from Terrence Blanchard asking me to be a part of this project. I don't do tributes very often, and I figure a tribute once every 100 years is probably not so bad.
That's tasteful. Not overdoing it.
Not overdoing it at all, no. And it'll probably be another 100 years before I do something like this.
Well, I think those Miles Davis records that John Coltrane played on, Milestones, Round About Midnight, of course, kind of blew. To me, as a listener, they might be the perfect expression of jazz that flows from the bebop tradition. And I think people who only know jazz vaguely think this is what jazz sounds like. So I wonder, when you get on stage in 2026 and you play a Cole Porter number or Someday My Prince Will Come, how do you find space in there to say something new?
Well, we start with the arrangements. Our approach to playing those old standards, we're not playing the same arrangements that they played in the 50s. It's more like a reimagining of those songs. It gives us an opportunity to interject our own personal voices in the music. You know, and it also allows us not to just merely emulate what Miles and John did. We forever and constantly stay inspired by what they did. But that inspiration is supposed to lead us to seeking and finding our own paths within that music. It's nice to go and present some music and hopefully present it in a way that honors them and not just attempt to copy them or emulate them.
That was jazz musician Ravi Coltrane speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, more of the Miles Davis Quintet. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway, and have a great weekend.